how about the coal mines? You remember the last coal mine collapse? And
yeah.
It turns out that the head of the Coal Mine Safety Administration is a former coal mine manager who has death on his hands from coal collapses in his own mines.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they roll. Nancy Nord is a former lobbyist for Kodak. Her job was basically fighting consumer protection.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, she was basically the public relations person for the Chamber of Commerce, which, as we know, is kind of like a far-right cover group. And she also was the head of the lobbying group for corporate lawyers. I mean, she really has a very distinguished and deep resume.
Mm-hmm. And so what amazes me is that, now that Karen Hughes has resigned from the administration, and clearly she was busy trying to fix impossible issues with the hearts and minds of people in the Middle East, but is this administration so out of touch that they don't understand that Nancy Nord's posture in this situation is really stupid? not just, bad policy, but really stupid. Because it would be easy enough for her to just be quiet, to just let Congress pass this legislation, and then, as one of the guys over at the Justice Department famously said, we just gum it to death and run out the clock.
Interesting. Well, they say George Bush is a, lame duck, but he's really kind of soaring like an eagle, right? I mean, he basically sees his lack of accountability, because he doesn't have an election to face, as his occasion to basically lay down the marker that none of these regulations matter. And he's basically, kind of laying down his scent like a foul, feral animal all over the formerly respectable precincts of our government. So in a sense, it's not that they're stupid, they're smart. They're smart in that they're saying this is what the Republican Party is about. If you are a businessman and you have millions of dollars to spare for bundling donations, we're your guys. We are your guys.
Yeah, but, even Republicans have kids who buy toys and, put them in their mouths.
They can afford the home testing kits. It's $37 per toy.
I see. Well, Rick, what are the options that we have here as consumers? Because this is infuriating.
Yes.
That because we have this, race to the bottom to
yes.
always get the lowest priced junk, it's the Walmartification
yes.
of consumer society in America. And, everybody is passing the buck here. Nancy
yeah.
Nord doesn't want to enforce the rules. Toys R Us, says they've recalled all this stuff. But they never should have accepted it into their warehouses to begin with.
Well, they talk about recalls. The Consumer Union basically finds stuff on the shelves all the time that hasn't been recalled that is contaminated with lead. What can you do? I mean, this is a really important question, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we need to do something. The government isn't doing anything. I can actually recommend that everyone go to the website set up by the Steelworkers Union. It's called StopToxicImports.org. They're really good on this issue, and they're offering actually free home testing kits and also kind of giving a clearinghouse for information about the kind of stuff that's
Let me have that again. I'm typing StopToxic.
StopToxicImports.org. So really, I mean, all praise to the steelworkers. They, when the government fails, someone has to step in.
Mm-hmm.
Some progressive organization has to step in. Congress is stepping in, but, not if Nancy Nord has anything to say with it. But for the time being, that's probably our best bet. And we got Christmas coming, and it's really scary, and that's the short-term solution. But, Peter, the long-term solution. We have to vote conservatives out of office. We have to fight conservative ideology with all our might. We have to talk to all our friends, our relatives, and coworkers who are still voting for these lunatics and still believe that they're actually able to protect us and really hit them with this kind of gut-level, kitchen-table stuff. Vote for Republicans, vote for conservatives, and your kids might be poisoned.
All right. Short of that, and I'm not dismissing it, and I'm certainly very much in favor of it, but Rick Perlstein, aren't there legal remedies that we have as consumers to attack these corporations that have permitted this stuff to come in? I mean, they act as if they are innocent, and they know that these containers come in, and they have an obligation to quality test this crap before they put it on their shelves and sell it to unsuspecting consumers.
Well, we don't have a legal remedy yet, and Congress is on the march with that. Rosa DeLauro is co-sponsoring a bill that would require independent third-party testing of toys before they can import stuff. and also we can fix the trade deals. Now, it's very interesting. The toy industry people know that they have a public relations crisis on their hands.
And it's Christmas time.
And they are on board with some of this stuff. They're, some of them support this idea of third-party testing. One of the reasons they like it is it'll help put the smaller toy industry manufacturers out of business. But be that as it may, it's something. But Nancy Nord opposes that, too. In other words, she is to the right of the industry that she's also in bed with.
Mm-hmm. That she's supposed to be regulating.
Yeah, because she's not a toy manufacturer. Actually, there aren't any toy manufacturers anymore. You know that the Toy Manufacturers Association changed their name to the Toy Industry Association?
Really?
None of them manufacture toys anymore?
Oh, wow.
But, you know, Nancy Nord doesn't have to worry about it. You know, she doesn't have a brand image to protect, you know. She's not a beloved American corporation. So she's the one who's kind of playing the bad cop in this. And the Mattels in the world and the Kmarts and the Walmarts are kind of playing the good cop and saying, okay, we're willing to accept some new regulation.
Well, and she knows that she can hunker down and hold on to her job. She could leave any time between now and the end of the Bush administration, and she'll be snapped up by a lobbyist group or a law firm or an industry trade association in a heartbeat.
One almost thinks of the metaphor of a revolving door, doesn't
yeah.
one?
Rick Perlstein is with us. He blogs at the website americasfuture.org, and he has called for the resignation of Nancy Nord. In a moment, we will equip you with some information on how you can weigh in, like I just did with Dianne Feinstein's office. And you're welcome to call in right now. We'll take a call here in just a moment. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's our number, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened?
Quality News Network. After yesterday's gains, Wall Street did a quick backflip today, plunging 360 points as investors came to grips with no more interest rate cuts, a slowing economy, and the unrelenting rise in oil prices. We'll have the numbers coming up. A number of sources are reporting that violent civilian and military troop deaths have fallen and are continuing to fall in Iraq. Sources attribute the drop to the troop surge, along with Muqtada al-Sadr's halting his army's operations and some Western tribes abandoning al-Qaeda. During a speech at the Heritage Foundation, President Bush said that, quote, unfortunately, on too many issues, some in Congress are behaving as if America is not at war, end quote. He likened Congress' inaction of White House anti-terror measures to the days leading up to Hitler's march across Europe and Lenin's establishment of a communist Russia. He added, quote, history teaches us that underestimating the words of evil, ambitious men is a terrible mistake, end quote. The U.S. Senate passed another expanded version of the children's health care bill that the president has already vowed to veto. Congress tried to override the president's veto of a similar bill last week, but couldn't get enough votes to do so. The White House is standing pat in its assertion that the expanded SCHIP bill is another step by the Democrats toward national health. Thousands of students were dispersed with tear gas and water cannons in Caracas, Venezuela today. They were protesting against the reforms being instituted by President Hugo Chavez, one of them being the abolishment of term limits, effectively allowing him to run for re-election indefinitely. The U.S. Marshal's Office announced its four-month Operation Falcon Sweep of fugitives resulted in the arrest of 6,400 lawbreakers in 22 states. Apprehended were gang members, sex offenders, and others accused of violent crimes. The pilot of the B-29 bomber that dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima has passed away from a number of ailments. Brigadier General Paul Tibbetts, who requested that there be no funeral or headstone, fearing that it would give his detractors a place to protest, was just 92 years old. All but one of the 23 wildfires scorching Southern California have been 100% contained, but a red flag warning has been issued due to the onset of more Santa Ana wind conditions arriving by tomorrow. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business just ahead.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, we must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light. This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, when we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Poland's Jewish leaders are planning on building a glass skyscraper in the Warsaw Ghetto beside the neighborhood's only remaining synagogue. The community nearly wiped out in the Holocaust is thriving and gaining in financial support and residents. Missouri scientists have mapped the DNA of a cat for the first time, adding to the list of six mapped species. The breakthrough is valuable because cats share more than 200 diseases with humans. Some 5 million frozen pizzas have been recalled because the pepperoni atop Totino's and Gino's brands are contaminated with E. coli. Some of the pizzas are still in supermarket coolers, but others might already be at home in people's freezers. Consumers are being warned not to open a phony email message purportedly from the fraud division of the Federal Trade Commission. The email contains an attachment with a virus that steals passwords and other data. Chrysler announced today they'll cut 4 models and 11,000 jobs. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow lost 362 points, closing at 13,567. The NASDAQ dropped 64 to close at 2794, and the S&P 500 fell 40 points to close at 1508. Oil has settled down to $93.49, losing $1.04. a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones dropped more than 370 points in trading today. We'll have the latest.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones dropped more than 370 points in trading today. We'll have the latest numbers from Wall Street just before today's close coming up in our business segment. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is trying to stop a revolt among U.S. diplomats who do not want to be forced to work in Iraq. At a town hall meeting yesterday, some diplomats opposed being directed to go to Iraq under the threat of dismissal because there may not be enough volunteers. One of the Foreign Service officers called a forced tour in Iraq a, quote, potential death sentence. 3 U.S. soldiers were killed Wednesday by explosions in northern Iraq. In October, 40 U.S. troops were killed in the Iraq War. That is the lowest monthly death toll for U.S. forces in about 2 years. Across Baghdad and its northern suburbs today, at least 16 people were killed by bomb blasts. President Bush is trying to save the nomination of his attorney general choice, Michael Mukasey. President Bush said that Mukasey is being treated unfairly by some senators. There has been concern over his position on the controversial waterboarding technique. The Senate Judiciary Committee will vote on his nomination Tuesday. Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy has said he will oppose Mukasey's nomination because he has not definitively answered the question of the legality of the terror interrogation technique. During a speech today in Washington, President Bush accused the Democrats of, quote, behaving as if America is not at war, end quote. He said this is not the time for Congress to weaken the Justice Department. Reuters reports that the Gulf Arab states are willing to set up a way for Iran to obtain enriched uranium as a way to solve the standoff between Tehran and the West. Iran has denied that it is trying to develop an atomic weapon through the development of its nuclear program. Pakistani opposition leader Benazir Bhutto has left the country to visit Dubai 2 weeks after she survived an assassination attempt right after her return from an 8-year exile. A suicide attack in Pakistan today killed 8 and wounded 40 people aboard a bus. Paul Tibbetts, the World War II pilot of the plane that bombed Hiroshima, has died at age 92 at his Columbus home. He has requested no headstone and no funeral because he didn't want any protesters. 5-time Grand Slam champion tennis player Martina Hingis announced she's retiring from the game after she was accused of testing positive for cocaine.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
NASA is working hard to plan a spacewalk to repair the torn solar wing of the International Space Station. The space shuttle astronauts will begin the fix on Saturday. The Southern California region is expected to get warm, dry Santa Ana winds over the weekend, and that is increasing the danger of brush fire conditions again, a week after the devastating blazes burned through the region. Chrysler announced plans today to cut up to 15% of its workforce. That amounts to 12,000 jobs. Chrysler will also remove 4 vehicle models from its auto lineup as part of the cost-cutting effort. According to the real estate website RealtyTrack, foreclosures were up 30% in the quarter ending in September compared to the previous quarter. And compared to the same period last year, the foreclosure rate was double. The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending slowed in September. It rose by 0.3%, which is the weakest performance in 3 months. Gold is trading at $793.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $93.49 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is down 370 points at 13,559, the NASDAQ down 64, and the S&P 500 down 41. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine. Good afternoon, America. Welcome.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones dropped more than 360 points in trading today. We'll have the closing numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business segment. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is trying to stop a revolt among U.S. diplomats who do not want to be forced to work in Iraq. At a town hall meeting yesterday, some diplomats opposed being directed to go to Iraq under the threat of dismissal because there may not be enough volunteers. One of the Foreign Service officers called a forced tour in Iraq a, quote, potential death sentence. President Bush is trying to save the nomination of his attorney general choice, Michael Mukasey. President Bush said that Mukasey is being treated unfairly by some senators. There has been concern over his position on the controversial waterboarding technique. The Senate Judiciary Committee will vote on his nomination Tuesday. Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy has said he will oppose Mukasey's nomination because he has not definitively answered the question of the legality of the terror interrogation technique. During a speech today in Washington, President Bush accused the Democrats of, quote, behaving as if America is not at war, end quote. He said this is not the time for Congress to weaken the Justice Department. Reuters reports that the Gulf Arab states are willing to set up a way for Iran to obtain enriched uranium as a way to solve the standoff between Tehran and the West. Iran has denied that it is trying to develop an atomic weapon through the development of its nuclear program. Three U.S. soldiers were killed Wednesday by explosions in northern Iraq. In October, 40 U.S. troops were killed in the Iraq War. That is the lowest monthly death toll for U.S. forces in about 2 years. Across Baghdad and its northern suburbs today, at least 21 people were killed by bomb blasts. 5 bodies were also found in Baghdad. Pakistani opposition leader Benazir Bhutto has left the country to visit Dubai 2 weeks after she survived an assassination attempt right after her return from an 8-year exile. A suicide attack in Pakistan today killed 8 and wounded 40 people aboard a bus. Paul Tibbetts, the World War II pilot of the plane that bombed Hiroshima, has died at age 92. 5-time Grand Slam champion tennis player Martina Hingis announced she is retiring from the game after she was accused of testing positive for cocaine at Wimbledon. She is denied using the drug. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
It's not hard to find people in need. They're everywhere. And there's more than one kind of disaster that affects people's lives. There's AIDS and the millions of orphans the disease has left behind. There are teeming refugee camps, the result of war and persecution. Mary Knoll has been reaching out to the world's needy for nearly a century. Mary Knoll is there right now, in 40 countries around the world. And with your help, Mary Knoll will be there tomorrow. Call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARY-KNOLL. Or, for more information, go to www.mygiftcounts.org. One world, one mission, Mary Knoll.
At least 107 people have been killed because of Tropical Storm Noel, which brought flooding and mudslides to the Dominican Republic and Haiti. It is now heading towards the Bahamas. There's a tropical storm warning for parts of the southeastern Florida coast. American Airlines is raising U.S. round-trip ticket prices by $20. The nation's largest air carrier cited higher fuel prices as the reason for the price hike. Delta and Alaska Airlines followed the move with price hikes as well. Chrysler announced plans today to cut up to 15% of its workforce. That amounts to 12,000 jobs. Chrysler will also remove four vehicle models from its auto lineup as part of the cost-cutting effort. Ford reports in October U.S. sales dropped 9.3%. Toyota reports sales were up 4.5% for the month, and General Motors had a 3.3% boost in sales in October. The Commerce Department reports consumer spending slowed in September. It rose 0.3%. Gold is trading at $793.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $93.49 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 362 points, the NASDAQ down 64 points, and the S&P 500 down 41 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! That's right, it's me, Bob Kincaid, threat to national security. It's a little bit past 6 minutes past the hour, and we embark upon our Thursday night voyage of truth and discovery and fact-based exploration. In other words, just another night here on the Head On Radio Network. If you were listening to the Radio Inside Scoop with our good friend Mark Levine in the past hour, you know that Mark has come out very plainly in opposition to Fred Phelps, who is a loathsome, miserable, sad, sickening little hunk of excrescence upon the face of this sweet little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe, come out in complete opposition to his so-called right to protest the funerals of fallen Iraqi soldiers, and made a cogent case for it, in my opinion. However, Mark has stayed over with us. You know, if it's Thursday, it must be Bob and Mark.
It's become that.
It's becoming a habit, and one I rather enjoy, and not nearly as deleterious as my tobacco habit, Mark.
We're gonna get you off that drug at some point, Bob. We need an intervention. Maybe all the horn audience needs to just come into your home and steal your tobacco. But that's another story.
Don't even say it. I couldn't get through all the garbage I have to read to do a show. I mean, Lord God, don't do that to me. But the point that I made just prior to the end of your program is that I fear that when we start talking about a miserable POS like Fred Phelps in terms of his free speech rights, we are carrying his water for him in his bucket. And that is a dangerous and bad thing, and I've got another example of why. But, Mark, do you disagree that the judgment is standing upon the intentional infliction of emotional distress and not any First Amendment or free speech-related issue?
Well, no. Do I disagree with you? Yes, I do. I think that that the First Amendment is an exception to intentional infliction of emotional distress. If you go and you go to the president's inauguration and you intend to inflict emotional distress by showing signs of, you know, bleeding, whatever. I'll give you another example, a better one. Abortion protesters. all right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no question in my mind that Operation Rescue intends to inflict emotional distress on women that are getting abortions. Their goal is to make their lives miserable. There's no doubt in my mind on that. And yet, I think they have a free speech right to stand a certain distance away, but to stand with their awful pictures and to protest. I think they have the right to do that.
See, that's the thing, Mark. I think you're dancing on the slippery slope here, and when we dance on the slippery slope, we often fall upon our behinds, because this is where the trouble comes in. I don't like the speech of Fred Phelps. I'm sure Fred Phelps does not like my speech if he knew I existed.
Well, you can't protest his funeral, Bob.
No.
If someone knocks off Fred Phelps, all right, we can't go to the actual cemetery as much as we'd like to, and as much as it would be fair and just to say God hates Fred Phelps at his funeral. No, I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If a law prohibits protested funerals, it prohibits protested funerals. You can't protest at his funeral. I don't see that as a huge restriction on free speech.
Now, the other thing, I've seen video of some of this Phelps business. And
it's awful.
It is. It's disgusting. And I'm going to raise another issue with regard to how disgusting it is here in a second. But a lot of the video I've seen shows them standing on what would be called the commons, you know, whether it be sidewalks or street sides or whatever, as the funeral procession goes by, waving their hateful little signs and, you know, God hates fags and all of that stuff.
Like I said, I don't know that I'd restrict that.
I don't think you can.
I can make a distinction between a cemetery and a procession. I admit it's a very fine line I'm drawing, but the more I discuss it with people, the more I think about it, I think there's a difference between a funeral procession and the actual interment of the body. And I think I can make that distinction. That's where I go. Different people may put it in a different place, but I think a funeral procession is a lot harder to restrict free speech.
Now, let me go to the place that disturbs me in terms of discussing this whole foofraw. One, Fred Phelps is never going to pay not one thin dime to the plaintiffs in this case.
Wait. I don't know. I don't know who owns his church.
He'll bankrupt. He owns his church. He'll bankrupt.
Well, if he bankrupts, we take the church. That's fine.
And
I don't mind taking the building, and we could burn it to the ground or raise it or sell it to a needy congregation. We can get something from Fred Phelps.
Yeah, but if you think that somehow or another this is going to stop his activities, it's not.
I think it will harm him. I don't think it will stop him. But I don't mind harming him. That's good enough.
Yeah, well, you know, hit him in the wallet. That's, you know, here in America, that's what we pay attention to.
Right. And I think it will hit him. I really do. I think it's going to hurt him.
You know, we forget something here. Maybe you didn't know. I don't know what the defense, who the defense was in this case. That I haven't gotten that far into it. But Fred Phelps is also a member in good standing in the bar of the state of Kansas.
Yeah, no, I know that.
And so, you know, just to assume that he's some country preacher is a dangerous and false assumption. This guy knows.
Okay.
This guy has dodged judgments in the past. He has dodged numerous legal troubles. He may, in fact, be an unindicted murderer.
Hmm.
And
but look, that's never fazed me. I mean, you know, because people can avoid the law does not mean you should stop trying to apply it to them. I remember a case I had as a trial lawyer in California. The guy had stolen millions of dollars in Australia and in London, and he just thought he could do it right here in my little $100,000 case in Los Angeles. But he didn't. I made his life so miserable that he actually paid my client. It's worth a try. There are people that say, why prosecute the Klansman that's 87 years old who did the crime 40 years ago in the 1960s? I don't say that either. I say prosecute him. I don't care that he's 87 and in a wheelchair. Go after it. We have to go after Fred Phelps. And I think with good lawyers, we can make him pay. If he tries to hide the stuff, a good lawyer can find it. Go Albert Snyder, the father of Matt Snyder, the soldier who died, whose funeral was protested.
There is an interesting issue here, though, because...
And I just don't like the argument that, oh, well, you know, he's avoided the law in the past, so don't go after him.
Oh, no, I'm not saying don't go after him. I'm just saying don't be surprised if you don't get anything out of him.
Well, it's still worth it.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Still worth
this
it.
Is, you know, this is going to be similar to the torment of the Goldman estate of O.J. Simpson.
Right.
Make every time he draws a breath a matter of misery.
Exactly. And I support Ron Goldman's father for doing that. Absolutely. I even support Ron Goldman's father for putting out that book. I think it was the right thing to do and to take the money from it. I have no problem with that.
Now,
so, you know, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there's another issue here that may be a little bit deeper, but, you know, we do deep things here.
We try.
That's why it's worth tuning into. You get analysis and thoughtfulness here that you're never going to get on the mainstream media.
You get depth, folks. Depth.
Exactly.
6 fathoms deep.
Cold, too.
Go ahead. Sorry, Bob.
Then there's an old joke, and I'm not going to tell it because it's really nasty. I'm not going to tell it.
Restrain yourself.
The other issue here, and this sort of tracks back to the hate crimes legislation.
Right.
And, of course, if you follow the right-wing religion industry like I do, you know that these lying SOBs have been screaming that the hate crimes legislation would...
Stop free speech.
Stop free speech and foreclose the right of ministers of the gospel, hallelujah, from speaking God's wisdom and truth from the pulpit because the queers could say it was hate speech.
Which, of course, you couldn't. And the reason you couldn't, and I happen to
draft... Is because it's embodied in the bill.
Yeah, exactly. I drafted part of that bill because Barney Frank was a big supporter of it, and I worked on the bill, and I literally drafted part of it. And what it is does not ban hate speech. It bans hate crimes.
Yeah.
In other words, if you don't commit a crime...
Okay, wait, please, Mark.
All right.
Okay. What the bill does is not the thrust of my argument. We know what it does and doesn't do. This is a truth-telling network.
Okay.
It does not foreclose a preacher from preaching his vile, vituperous
Absolutely
hate.
Absolutely not. Right.
But... Because the right-wing religion industry has already shown itself willing to lie and claim that it does, this same circumstance will also be used to say that I'm sure somewhere out there Michael Savage is already hollering that the homosexual mafia is persecuting poor Reverend Fred Phelps. Regardless,
poor Fred.
Yeah, poor Fred. But these things...
I'd rather crucify him, but I'm told that's illegal.
Well, you know, that's another point, Mark. I'm not sure if it's still on the books in the Oldie Dominion, but it was a carryover here, and it is still on the books in West Virginia, a little something called a fightin' words statute. You ever heard of one of those?
Yeah. Chaplinsky v. New Hampshire, excuse me, going back to my law school experience. Go ahead.
Well, very good. You get a gold star.
Thank you. I was a good student.
I can just imagine. the nature of a fighting word statute goes back to the days of dueling. When, you know, gentlemen would say, "Oh, sir, you have offended me by what you have said. I will meet you on the field of honor. On the day after tomorrow, my second will speak with your second for the selection of weapons."
In New Jersey, which seems an awful place to have a duel, but apparently Aaron Burr and Alexander...
Weehawken.
That's where they were.
Yeah. Weehawken. Yeah. On the plains
today
of Weehawken.
Today it's this, you know, crazy New Jersey suburb, but that's where the great duel was fought.
Yeah, but it was a problem all over the colonial states or the original 13 or whatever. And
right.
So a law was drafted that said there are some words that are so hateful that if you just stop right then and there and punch the snot out of the guy who says them, that you will have an affirmative defense at law to a claim of battery. That the words themselves are like unto a blow itself.
Yep.
And so...
I know.
Somewhere along the way, one of these days...
The N-word, for example.
Yeah, that's one of them. That's a fighting word.
Yep.
Somewhere along... And I've got an example of that tonight, so, you know, don't steal my thunder.
Sorry.
What
can I... Yeah, I'm psychic, Bob.
Or psychotic, I'm not sure which.
Both.
But
go ahead.
I'll be here all week, try the veal. But anyway, people do, at some point, you know, there's an ad that runs in our good friends at Quality News Network. There's an ad about encouraging civility in America. And sometimes I wonder if we've gotten too civil. Because there are things such as Fred Phelps at you know, the mother and father raise a child, the child goes off, gets blown into his molecular pieces in Iraq, comes home, and they can't even bury the child in peace. I don't understand any of these grief-stricken parents. I don't know why one of them hasn't gone all Robert De Niro in The Untouchables upside Fred Phelps' skull with a ball bat.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
I'll
tell you, I don't know that any jury would convict.
I don't think a jury would touch him.
Yeah,
I think.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, a plea of.
If I were on the jury, I'd find some excuse.
Yeah, well, insanity.
Temporary insanity.
Yeah, how sane are you at your? Well, sorry, no, I won't do that to you, Mark. I know your history.
Yeah, we'll move on. We'll move on.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point, it's going to happen, and it's going to be justified.
Right, I agree.
So, you know, there's that. But all of this stuff, these people are not simpletons, Mark, and they're doing this for reasons that may not become obvious to people beyond folks like us who look at things a little bit more deeply and a little bit more closely than the average simpleton on the mainstream media. Because Fred Phelps has already done it. I've seen video of handsome but not very bright talking head at the Chicken Noodle News Network trying to interview this guy by phone, and at one point Phelps just screams above him. Apparently they don't have a dump button there. Screams above him, "How dare you! You're persecuting a minister of the gospel and defeating his free speech rights. You ought to be ashamed of yourself."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guy's just, you know, he tries to buck up and, you know, get tough and, "Well, thank you very much, sir." But the fact of the matter is, it's not a First Amendment issue. Not at all. Either the judgment stands on the, because again, but
there is an exception. I mean, I don't believe that all intentional inflictions of emotional distress. I don't think that every time when you intend to make someone upset for you. I went down to San Diego. I intended to harass those delegates. I mean, let's face it. I was enjoying their misery. I was saying things like, you know, "Welcome to California," you know, Clinton Gore country. We could talk about what age I was at the time, but I mean, I don't know that I didn't plan to change anybody's minds. I admit it. I wasn't even out to, you know, convince anybody. I was just out to harass them verbally.
But there's also a component to the intentional infliction of emotional distress, Mark, that it has to have an after effect. You know, being that those
you're
were...
You're saying I wasn't very effective?
No, I'm not saying you weren't very effective.
Bob,
I'm saying
I wasn't good?
No, you were wonderful. You were absolutely wonderful. You're Mr. Wonderful. But no, seriously.
They didn't lie up awake at night worrying
no,
about...
No, those are Republican delegates. They went off. They got done with their business in the hall. They went out. They found a hooker. They got loaded, and they did kinky things like, you know, putting on diapers and getting stomped, just like Senator David Vitter. Okay? But on the other hand, a grieving parent.
Yeah, I know.
This is the kind of stuff that keeps you up at night. This is the kind of stuff that wrecks a marriage.
No. It's true. And there's also a huge difference between a public function. Like, there's nothing more public than the Republican National Convention. It's public. It's political.
Public's in the middle of their name.
Yeah, it should be part of their. That's when free speech is at its zenith. The courts have said, when it's public and when it's political, and there ain't nothing more public and more political than a party's national convention. Very, very different from private.
On the other hand, to use your analogy, that at some point these people verged onto private property. Well, then to say that sort of defeats the public component of your argument about the intentional infliction of emotional distress.
You lost me.
Well, if they're on private property when they're doing it,
You mean the convention?
No. I'm talking about the Fred Phelps people.
Oh, if they're on private property. They have a right to do it on private property. They can do it in their own church. Absolutely they can. And I can't stop them.
And if they're on the private property of the cemetery?
Well, that it's not their cemetery.
Right.
It's not their private property.
And that's what I'm getting at. That's why, even though Phelps says, my First Amendment claim will get this thing thrown out in 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to lose. And I think that's going to be a good law. I think he's going
to
lose.
But he's not going to lose because it's not going to, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not going to be a blow to the First Amendment.
No, I don't think it'll be a blow to the First Amendment. That's been my whole point all along, that this is not a case of free speech, that I support free speech, but I don't support Fred Phelps. And I'm trying to make that distinction without talking about the content of what he says, because I will agree from the get-go that if once you start saying this content is okay and this other content is not okay, that's the most dangerous slippery slope of all. Now, I'm not getting into his content. I'm just getting into, hey, it's a private thing. He can't be there. That's why. And so, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it sounds like we're agreeing, Bob.
Well, we kind of are. mainly,
I thought you were going to disagree with me. I'm looking forward to a fight.
I believe that the First Amendment is a messy, messy thing.
It is.
I disagree with you to a certain extent on whether or not one has a right in a public place to yell something. There's a difference between the First Amendment and bad manners.
Well, you know, heckling is also different from shouting someone down. Again, it's a close distinction. You know, if you heckling something and repeatedly screaming so that someone can't be heard, I consider different things.
Yeah, well,
a good heckle. I'm not gonna
make it count. You know, the little guy that got hauled away from the Bill Clinton appearance not too long back, asking him about the Bohemian Grove, he didn't make it count.
I don't even know what the Bohemian Grove is.
Well, Bill Clinton.
I guess that's why he didn't make it count.
Well, Bill Clinton did. He said, oh, the Bohemian Grove, you mean that place where all them Republicans go out west and rub naked up against the redwood trees? Sounds like you need to go. You could use some fresh air.
Good for Bill. Oh, I miss Bill Clinton.
Yeah, right, so.
I want him to be. That's why Hillary's going to get elected. It's not about her at all. We just want to see him as the first man.
Yeah,
we do. I mean, admit it. We all are like.
Well, and it was fun.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It was fun to see him. It was fun to see him handle that heckler. You know, if you choose to heckle, you're going to get hauled out. You'll probably be charged with a crime, and it's going to cost you some significant fine coin. So make it count.
No, yeah. Well, exactly. Well, the other thing is that if you want an occasional heckle of the president, I mean, like I said, Bill Clinton can handle himself very well. And he responded to the heckle, as you said, very, very well. So I don't mind a little heckle now and then. It's when people get up and prevent someone from speaking.
Okay, preventing someone from speaking, Mark. How about what happened with that other little piece of excrescence, David Horowitz, the other day at Columbia University, as the culmination of his Islamofascism Week tour, when he was shouted down by the Columbia audience and run off stage?
I think that they can't do that.
They
did. Even though I think he's awful. I disagree.
Now, he stood up.
I mean, I...
Now, he did manage to get a few words in. He said something to the effect of, a noose was hung on the door of a professor here at Columbia. But of course, and these are his words, of course the college Republicans always have a noose over their heads because conservative speech isn't tolerated on our liberal college campuses today.
And you know what happened? Well, you know what happened?
And that's when they ran him.
The stupid liberals in the audience gave him justification. They should have let him speak, and then they should have spoken and debated him and torn him into little pieces. But you know, to not let him speak, he wins. He's so wrong in 1,000 things, he wins that one. I think he had a right to speak, as much as I detest him. You know, did you know that he was on my show several years back?
No.
Did you know that?
No.
I had him on my show, and he...
Did you have him for lunch?
Not only do I have him for lunch, he's the only guest in 4.5 years I've been on radio. And in 4.5 years, he's the only guest who couldn't hack it and hung up. The only one. And then, get this, then 10 minutes later, he calls back in. And then 10 minutes later, hangs up again. This is a person who cannot handle free speech. He couldn't handle it. I tore him into little pieces.
Well, he deserves to be torn into little pieces.
Up.
I mean, this guy
right.
wants a conservative version of calculus taught in
oh, he's awful. He's
in the
awful.
Math department.
He's the only guest I've ever had who literally couldn't hack it so much that he had to hang up.
You know, some sort
I'm
of...
I'm very proud of that.
I would be, too. Some sort of right-wing trigonometry, I guess, where, the quadratic equation doesn't yield a parabola, but a miracle does. I don't understand these people. You know, there's a reason college campuses are liberal.
Well, because they're full of people of intelligence.
Right. And, you know, the other side just isn't very sharp, Mark. I mean, they're mean.
No, but at the end of the day, they're going to get up the rapture, not us. So, you know.
And you know what? We talked one night on the program about starting up a business, Rapture Ready Cars, Rapture Ready Real Estate. You know, just do do like a deed with a life estate in it, and we get it when you rapture, and we'll take care of it for you. Me, I'm gonna find me a fundy with a Porsche 911 turbo cabriolet, and I'm following them everywhere. And the minute they're gone, I'm there. Got me one.
You do it. I was just looking on the web. It was September of 2005, September 18th, and I probably still have that archive up. If you want to have a lot of fun, listeners, go to RadioInsideScoop.com, scroll all the way down in the broadcast archive to September 18th, 2005, and listen to a real nut job and how he can't handle discussing things with me. It was great. It's good stuff.
Well, and see, that's the way it is with most of these right wingers. If you actually engage them and don't let them to just scream and spew their vitriol and their bile, they can't debate.
I even remember what happened. He called the Democrats a communist party, and I said, "Well, you're a former communist. You know what communism is. You know that what you just said is false. How can you say that?" And he hymns and he haws and he goes all around it. And then finally he says, "I never called the Democrats a communist party." I said, "I'll tell you what. We'll go to a break. During the break, I'm going to scroll back in the archive, which I could still do in those days, and play for you where you said exactly that." And that's when he hung up on me.
Oh, poor Mark. Poor Mark. Well,
no, I enjoyed it. I loved it. It's one of my favorite debates ever, because I mean, he was actively hostile in a way. I mean, I debate with Mike Lane all the time, but he's not, I disagree with him strongly, but personally he's not a jerk. There was no greater jerk I've ever had on air than David Horowitz. I mean, he was a true, there's all these choice words I'm trying to avoid saying on the air, but he was all of them.
Yeah, I know. We try so hard to stay within the confines of decent speech, Mark, but sometimes it's awfully hard.
Well, you recall my show on Karl Rove, the one show where I stepped outside the bounds of of decent speech. Well, I enjoyed our discussion, Bob.
I did, too. This is always fun.
We came down and we agreed. I was looking for a fight, and you happened to agree with me, so, you know.
Well, I agree with you for different reasons. I think the First Amendment is a mess. I think it was designed to be a mess. The problem with the First Amendment is that we don't really engage it as it truly is very much anymore. We would be better off with more people standing on street corners or in the public park screaming, down with the taxes or whatever.
Right.
We'd be better off with that.
I agree. I loved Speaker's Corner at Hyde Park in London. That was one of my favorite places. We need more of those.
And
we need those in our place, in our parks.
And see, it's not a free speech exercise when you're watching, you know, a couple of, well, what you're watching is wrestling whenever you see these people, like on Fox, when it's Alan Colmes and Man
Well, Alan
Coulter.
Colmes ain't playing fair. I mean, Alan Colmes, I've heard Alan Colmes speak in one of those private radio gatherings where 99% are right-wingers and then there's me. And he has said very clearly, number one goal is to please his corporate bosses. Number two goal is entertainment. Number three is his political views if there's time. That's as close to a direct quote as I can remember.
Yeah, so you've got you've got him. There's video out there at MediaMatters.org right now of him taking on Ann Coulter over her perfected Jews comment.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she tap dances.
I'm sure he didn't take her on very hard. I hate Alan Colmes.
Well, he's a professional doormat. He gives the rest of us liberals a bad name.
Exactly.
But it's not a free speech issue. That is all canned. It's wrestling. It's what happens on Saturday night in Donut Center. The guy in the red tights wins, and 3 weeks later at Podunk Junction, the guy in the blue tights wins. It's
a con.
Well,
that's because, right, because Ann Coulter is a performance artist. She doesn't believe what she says. She's just trying to make money, and she's made a lot of money being that. Frankly, David Horowitz is a lot like Ann Coulter. Both of them, I think, are simply trying to say extreme things in order to get press. I don't think they really believe what they say.
So do you think somebody'd have us on a TV show if I said that Michael Mukasey might be able to figure out whether waterboarding is torture if we just waterboarded him for a little bit?
Hey, that's a great idea.
See, I
hadn't thought about that.
Agnes,
I don't know. Someone might think that's an assault, Bob. But I think it's free speech.
Well, you know, way back when we were confirming, it is free speech. You're darn right.
I know it is.
Well, way back when they were confirming torture boy Gonzalez,
right?
Agnes got upset with me because of something I said on the air. Because you know he had his wife there, and his little precious little children, and you know this is the guy who said that if it doesn't cause organ failure or death, it's not torture. Or at
John
least
Yu. I went to law school with him.
Yeah, or at least agreed with that assessment. And what I wanted done is there on the Judiciary Committee, I wanted Senator Biden to say, now just sit there, Mr. Gonzalez, bring the little boy up. Put him up on the block. Okay, you got the diehard battery? Okay, attach him to his little underdeveloped testicles. Wait a minute. What are you getting up for, Alberto? Buddy, yeah, we're not going to torture him. We're just going to run some juice through him. It's not going to cause organ failure or death. Why is your wife crying? Buck up.
It'd be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's not torture. You've said so. He'll be okay.
Right?
We're not going to kill him or nothing.
We're not going to kill him.
We're not going to make any organs fail.
No.
Yeah, okay, yeah, now put the clips on his little nipples. Okay, good. And the earlobes. Don't forget the earlobes. Now, juice him.
Just a little.
Yeah, just...
Not enough to cause organ failure.
Or death.
Or death.
You know, it's just a diehard battery. I mean, nobody's going to die.
Maybe a couple batteries.
Well, okay. But, see that's easy shtick, Mark. That's easy to do. I mean,
it is easy to do. It's and it and you know, from time to time, that's fair.
But yeah, you know, Michael Mukasey. You know, or I tell you what. You know, we don't have to do it to Michael Mukasey. Let's see, Rush Limbaugh. No, he doesn't have enough hair. It doesn't look good with a swirly. How about that life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity?
I think we hang Ann Coulter by her hair.
What if we waterboarded the life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity job, in front of Michael Mukasey and let him make an empirical determination as to whether or not he thought that was torture?
Right, right. It might just be uncomfortability.
Yeah, that's it. What is it? It causes no lasting damage. Didn't we hear that in the last couple of days, Mark?
Right.
No lasting damage.
We have to really praise the people who thought of waterboarding in the first place, those very clever people in, wait for it, the Spanish Inquisition.
Yes.
That's where it comes from.
Sure it does.
This is not a Monty Python cartoon. It actually comes from the Spanish Inquisition.
Yes. You know why?
That I don't. You win.
Okay.
Why?
The Spanish Inquisition was all about figuring out ways to cause as much human misery as possible without shedding blood. Because the church said that they were forbidden from shedding blood. That's why they burned people at the stake instead of disemboweling them, for instance.
How very humane.
You know, it is. It's a humane church. So, waterboarding, no bloodshed.
That, you know.
Pulling on the rack, no bloodshed.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah. They really should have done the bamboo shoots under the fingernails, though.
That sheds blood.
Sorry.
See,
but no organ failure.
You're such an amateur. You're such an amateur torture boy.
There's no organ failure, Bob. At least Bush says it's okay. Maybe not the church. There's no organ failure. There's no organs underneath the fingernails. I stand by my bamboo shoots.
You do that.
Thank you.
I'm proud and honored to know that you have the courage of your convictions, Mark Levine.
I do. Go for it.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's been a lot of fun. I'm sure you've got stuff to do tonight, but these Thursday nights are becoming a bit of a habit.
Well, maybe they should become a habit. We'll leave it to the listeners to decide if they want it to be a habit or not.
Okay,
but for now,
good.
I will get off of your program and give you a chance to fulminate as you so wonderfully do.
Fulminate? I haven't fulminated in a while. Maybe I need
you
medicine.
You fulminate every single day, Bob Kincaid.
I'll have to look it up.
You are a classic fulminator.
I am fulminated. I'm fulminated mercury. That's what I am.
You are. You're a fulminator. Admit it. You're a card-carrying fulminator.
My name is Bob Kay, and I'm a fulminator, and I have no power over my fulminations.
No, you don't. You truly don't. You can't stop it.
No, I can't. At least I haven't broken into tongues yet, but that could happen, too.
Well, that's only on Wednesday nights, but I'm bumped. And with that, I'll be signing off.
He'll be here all next week. Try the video. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
All right. I'll
see
you,
Mark.
Later.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to the phones and see what's going on here. Oh, darn it. So, is that fair? Maybe, are we, with all due respect to our very good friend Tony Seaton and his very good friend out there at Quality News Network, are we too civil? Now, I know that things like the old incarnation of Crossfire were eventually put to the side and buried because it was decided that it was incivil. And people, our side, whatever, the screamers, the right-wing screamers, they're not civil. But I'm not talking about screaming for the sake of screaming. I'm talking about looking somebody in the eye and saying, you know, you're crazier than a run-over dog, and somebody should do something about you. You need to be in a little rubber room somewhere. And stop with all this politeness. I disagree with the honorable gentleman from Busted Knuckle. I'm sure he's honorable, but I disagree. You know, there was a time in the well of the House of Representatives when the elected representatives of the several states used to beat the piss out of each other. One guy whomped another one with a cane or some such at one point. And I keep coming back to it. Makes great theater. And I'm not talking about the fake incivility that goes on TV, because you know what? When the little red light on the camera goes off, they all walk back to the green room, and they're drinking liquor out of the same bottle. Alan Colmes and Sean Hannity finish the show. Ha, 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 that sure was a good one. Yeah, we'll get them again tomorrow. Boy, we keep them stirred up, don't we? That is theater. That's vaudeville. That's not even that. That's a pitch on a carnival midway. I'm talking.